Welcome to the Post-Christian Podcast, where we help you make disciples in our increasingly post-Christian world. My name is Eric Bryant. I'm one of the executive pastors at Gateway Church in Austin, Texas, along with the founder of Catalyzing Community. You can go to ericbryant.org to sign up for my email newsletter to receive free resources. On today's episode of the Post-Christian Podcast, I have with me Andy Reese. How you doing, Andy?
Hey, I'm doing so good. Thank you so much for chatting with me.
Absolutely. Well, I was excited when I got a copy of your book, The Spiritual Gifts Blueprint. And I found so much as a pastor, one of the biggest challenges is to move people from the crowd into community. And I just would love to glean some wisdom from you. Things you've written in the book, things you've seen work well at other churches. How has spiritual gifts been a tool that you've seen mobilize people from just sitting in the crowd? Of course, the bigger challenge is getting them to come on a Sunday. Yeah. But how have you seen spiritual gifts mobilize folks?
Yeah. So let me start with the bad news. The bad news is there's something like 25 different definitions of spiritual gifts. And I had a whole shelf of books on spiritual gifts. And I thought, I don't think any of these are quite what Paul said. So that's the bad news. The good news is that when you look at it, you don't lose anything, but Paul just puts everything on different shelves for you so you can find it really, really easily. And he was talking to some pretty confused people, people who were maybe fairly rabid in their expression of their faith, but were pretty confused and pretty off base. And he said to them, and I don't know why I read this, 500 times. And then maybe 10 years ago, I read it. I went, oh my gosh, I was teaching spiritual gifts at Lipscomb University, very conservative university. And I said, oh my gosh, this is the answer right here. What, it's just, why didn't I see that? And so, so Paul says, just very succinctly, he says, I think in the Greek means you idiots, but he says, you Corinthians, he said, concerning things of the Spirit, not spiritual gifts, things of the Spirit, the structure of the spirit world, the world in which you must live and operate if you want to be a member of this kingdom. This is like concerning the structure of the spirit world. I don't want you to be ignorant. And then he says, there is an analysis you can do of charisma gifts and one Holy Spirit. And that's where you start. You start with, what is my gifting? And there are seven gifts you can think, almost like Enneagram in a way. And everybody in the back of the book, there's a circle in color. And all of the gifts are like, they're like the primary colors. Peter calls the gifts the multicolored grace of God is the word that Peter uses when he describes them. And so when you look at Paul saying there are seven primary colors, how many colors are there? A gazillion colors. How many primary colors are there? Seven. And that's how we understand spiritual gifts. There, each of us is primarily one thing, and we live our lives out of that thing. And then God takes us from glory to glory to glory in that thing. If we had to start over with a new gift every 5 years, it would be horrible. That'd be like having to change your major. You'd never get out of school, and God wants us out of school. And where? So Paul says, there's a distribution of spiritual gifts and one Holy Spirit. And you can find that distribution in Romans 12. Easy peasy. Then he says, now, there is also a distribution of ministries, of what you do with your gifting. And there is one Jesus. And you go, oh, this is easy. Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, what? I'll give you big things.
Right.
If you're faithful in money, I'll give you spiritual authority. If you're faithful helping someone else, I'll give you your own thing. Your job is to be faithful with the gift you have and look around to see what presents itself. Because Jesus isn't going to make finding his Easter eggs hard. He's going to make finding his Easter eggs easy. And so there's varieties of ministries in one Jesus. And you can read all about the ministries of Jesus in Ephesians 4. It's not spiritual gifts in Ephesians 4. Never once called spiritual gifts anywhere else. And it's Ephesians 4, and he talks about a unity that we maintain and a unity that we attain to, and how we live our lives and what causes us to grow is speaking the truth through unbreakable ligament relationships. Hmm. Jesus said that. That is how you grow. Not good preaching's fine, good teaching's fine, but speaking the truth through ligament relationships. And when people go to church and they have connection with other people, they stay forever. It's a life thing. Hmm. Then Paul says, now, you idiots, there's a distribution, and he uses this weird Greek word deiresis, which Plato coined. And what deiresis means is you define a subject end to end, then look inside of that subject and organize it into major categories, study each category, then study how they relate. And that is deiresis analysis. And that's the word Paul uses. There's a deiresis analysis of charisma gifts, deiresis analysis of ministries, diaconia ministries. And then he says, there's a deiresis analysis of the energema of the Father, the energizings of the Father. That verse that says he causes all things to work together for good, if you love him and are called according to his purpose, that is what Paul's talking about. And he says, when you're using your gift in the ministry Jesus has, the Father goes, you're my boy, I'm behind you 100%, let's go. And you start getting on that moving sidewalk, man. You're not walking faster, but you're moving faster. And I've seen hundreds of lives change when they kind of get a hold of this. And then the Father, just like any good dad, he provides resources and he provides connections. And that's what he does. That's what Paul says he does. He uses two words to describe it. And then Paul says, now finally, the thing you were all up about, the tongues and prophecy, those things, Scripture, and I don't want to blow anybody's mind, but Scripture never once calls those spiritual gifts. Hmm. Never once, except in a grouping of gifts, but it never once calls those alone spiritual gifts. Thank you, Azusa Street. We've called those spiritual gifts our whole lives. And if that's my gifting, no wonder I'm confused. Am I a tongues in the body? That makes no sense. And so churches have just tried a million different ways to figure it out, and they've ended up throwing them away. In most people's lives, it's a non-thing. I tried it once, but I took a gift test, blah, blah. So the energy of God. And then those manifestations of the Spirit are the power tools to help you to use your gift in the ministry Jesus has for you, supported by the Father. And if you need a sudden word of knowledge about a situation, you're going to get it. All of a sudden, you're going to know something you don't know, and you don't know how you know it, but you smile and you thank God, and you say something in a meeting or in a conversation, and the person bursts into tears and says, how did you know? And you go, God's good, isn't he? You know, you don't say, oh, I'm smart. You just go, God's good, isn't he? And I've had that happen tens and tens of times, and watched other people do it and coached them in. And so tongues then makes tons of sense within that context, because tongues is the starter manifestation to help your spirit gain control over your mind. Hmm. Because we're mostly psychikos, Paul says, mental Christians. And he says, I want you to be pneumatikos Christians, spiritual Christians. He says that in Corinthians. And this verse starts with, now concerning things of the Spirit, that word is pneumatikos. In other words, Paul says, the thing I want you to be, here's how you're that. And so that's what the book talks about, is how you be the thing Paul and God ask you to be, and how you then come in connection with the Trinity. And they speak with different voices when you start down this path. Hmm. You just smile and just say, Father, that was crazy. You know, that was crazy. And God just goes, yeah, you're my boy. Go for it. You know, and so everything then starts to fall in place. And I've taught this to like 300 people, some college classes, Lipscomb, a very conservative university, had me teach it to about 150 students. And some of the results were tear-jerkingly cool results. Wow. But,
gift circle, you were referring to that earlier. Are these the seven that you're talking about?
Those are the seven. They're all in Romans 12. Let me just describe this for a second.
Yeah, that'd be great. See,
there are three speaking and three serving. And you are primarily speaking or serving. So if you're one who serves, and someone asks you to give a sermon, it's going to drive you nuts. It's going to make you nervous. It might ruin your year. And if you're a speaker, you go, yeah, I can do that. And even if you're nervous, you'll do it. Right. And so you can tell, you can actually figure out when somebody's gifting is by asking them two simple questions. And the first one is, if I asked you, I know it's Wednesday, but if I asked you to speak to city council on Friday, could you do it? And if you're a serving gift, you'd go, no. Not only no, but all my friends say, you'll regret it for the rest of your life. Don't do it. And that one feeling splits you. And then there's another question you can ask if it's a speaking. You say, what kind of a sermon would you preach on Sunday? Would it be very, very encouraging? We're great. And I want to show you some people in this church, and I just want to encourage them. That would be the one who exhorts. Teaching is, hey, I found this great pattern in the book of Jeremiah. I want to show it to you. It'll change your life. That's one who teaches. Prophecy is, we're a great church, and there's one thing we need to fix. And if we can fix that one thing, that's the prophet. The prophet sees a spot of gravy on the bride's dress walking down the aisle from the front of the church. Just like, okay, mercy, serving and giving, you can find them if you're part of a wait staff and a young waiter comes up with the big drinks that everybody's been waiting for and they're all mad because they're late and he trips and all the drinks go crash to the floor right next to the table and you're standing there. What is your primary instantaneous motivation without thinking? If you go straight to the person and you don't care about the mess, you go straight to the person, it's mercy. You go straight to the mess, it's serving. You go straight to the kitchen, it's giving. If you organize, everybody's leading. And so in 10 minutes, you can find your gifting. It's just easy.
I love it. Well, yeah. And in this book, you describe talents, purpose, like the spiritual gifts really does kind of open up more. By the way, andyreese.org is the website, and the book, I'll be giving away copies to those who get my email newsletter. But talk a little bit about talents and purpose in the midst of all of this.
Sure. So Jesus says in Ephesians 2:10, you are my workmanship, or Paul says about you are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works that God the Father has prepared beforehand for you to walk in. That is all you need to know about purpose. You are prepared. You're perfectly prepared. There's nothing missing for a set of things that Jesus has for you to walk in. And he hides them like Easter eggs so that you'll find them, not so that you won't find them. You know, that's how they're hidden. And when you say, Jesus, I want to know the things you have called for me to do. And I'll start small. I'll start hidden. I'll start serving someone else. I'll start being faithful with money. But Jesus, I want my life to be doing the things you called me to do. And Jesus goes, we're in. And you begin to stumble on those things. And the Father causes crazy stuff to happen. And you end up finding purpose, but you define it differently. My purpose is to serve God in the things he's called, not to be a great attorney, not to be. Now, it might be. You might, and a lot of people early on go, I know I'm supposed to be a doctor, and I know that's what God's calling me to do. Then your purpose is still to say, not to be a doctor. My purpose is to say, what am I supposed to do when I'm a doctor? That's my purpose. Jesus, what are you calling me to do? And when you find that partnership, honestly, I used to have a really small car and I said, it gets kind of crowded in here. The whole Trinity goes with me everywhere. So it's like,
I love it.
You know, and so, and I kind of learned this long ago and I've been teaching it to now 300 college kids or so. And oh, the stories.
I love it. Well, I think what's so beautiful and so important is for people to understand, just as you brought out that beautiful verse, Ephesians 2:10, you know, you are God's poema, workmanship,
yes,
masterpiece,
craftsmanship.
There is something remarkable, even Psalm 139, you know, God knit you together in your mother's womb. When people realize the intentionality of who God created them to be.
Yeah.
I like to say, you know, God's created you on purpose and for a purpose. You know,
yes,
there is something he is calling you to do. And what I've found is when people are operating in their spiritual gifts, there's a level of joy and it's almost like you have to make sure you're giving them days off. Like, you know, it doesn't take a lot of effort.
You have lots of energy.
Find most alive. Yeah. That's right. Well, what are some of the other things that people might be surprised by in your study of spiritual gifts?
Yes. Well, it's a study of that four-part structure. So spiritual gifts is one part. That's the hook. Everybody wants to know that. But then when you realize how Jesus works and you realize how the Father works, that's pretty amazing. But what I've also done, and I have a church background from Presbyterian to Pentecostal and everything in between. So, and you look at the people who endorse the book, you have James Gall, who's a internationally known prophetic charismatic, and you have the wife of the president of Lipscomb University, the most conservative university on earth, and a bunch of people in between. So I said, okay, good. I put stuff on the rec shelves and people are finding it. And one of the things is, of course, tongues. Tongues is always a kind of this crazy thing. And I do a very, very different take on it from years of study, years of asking questions of psychologists and brain doctors. But tongues is a human capability. When you do brain scans of people speaking, before they're speaking in tongues, they're just worshiping, let's say, their prefrontal cortex right here is alert. When they shift to tongues, it goes dark. Hmm. Paul says, when I pray in a tongue, my mind is unfruitful. He is saying that. But what happens then is that out of your innermost being, remember that river of living water, he said in John, out of your, whoever believes in me, out of their belly will flow rivers of, by this he spoke of the Spirit. Tongues is a way to stimulate that flow, because tongues comes out of you, it doesn't go here, and it comes out of your mouth. And that's how the river flows, if your mind always gets in the way. And tongues helps you to say to your mind, you are the servant, not the master. The Spirit is the master. Hmm. You are the servant. The brain scans of jazz musicians jamming is identical to the brain scan of people speaking in tongues. Hmm. And there are five faiths that speak in tongues. Two of them aren't even Christian faiths. Hmm. And there's an internet sensation, a young lady with 14 million views, pretending to talk in all these languages, and it's basically human tongue. She's just letting the flow go. And so God uses that human capability for his purposes. And it's, I don't have time to go into it, but the book goes into the purposes of tongues.
Well, I grew up in a context where tongues was so scary that we basically were taught in many ways that spiritual gifts don't exist anymore. And yes. It was really based on a fear of that one gift.
Uh-huh.
And to another degree, some of the more, miraculous supernatural gifts.
Right. And crazy they look, right?
Yes. But I do think there is a level of kind of beauty. I had a friend of ours on our staff here at Gateway say what he likes about Gateway is that there's both an emphasis on the fruit of the Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. He kind of grew up in a context where doesn't matter about the fruit, it's the gift.
Yeah.
But I do think there's a healthy level of understanding how God empowers us, his Spirit enables us, you know, there's things that come alive in us.
Sure.
But there's also, like you said, there's talents within prior to following Jesus,
right,
that aren't yet activated.
Yes.
Fully, yes. Perhaps.
Yes. And those talents are part of my personality. And then the gifts use the talents and out they flow into the world. And so we have talents. And the cool thing is Jesus knows exactly what we needed when we were made to do the things he's called us to do. They won't necessarily help us do the things we weren't called to do. And they won't necessarily help us sin. But if we do what we're called to do, then all these things are added to us. It's crazy. When I said, I'm going to walk away from business and pursue the Lord, and I'm going to go to a city where I know I'm called, and then I'll look for a job. And I ended up with a world-class career in engineering on the side. I mean, it was like crazy, God. So,
that's a beautiful story. Thank you, Andy, for taking the time. And your blueprint is a fascinating a read so far. I'm enjoying it, and I'm just grateful for you. Thank you so much, Andy.
Yes, and there is a study guide too. I don't know if you.
There it is. Yep.
There's a study guide, and the study guide is designed for people who would like to have a Bible study together in the book, but no one has guts enough to lead the Bible study. The study guide is perfect. You have one person who is a facilitator, and I've written it so that it both reviews what was in a chapter and then asks some application questions and things to make you think and talk to each other. So
another great resource. Thank you so much, Andy.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for joining us on the Post-Christian Podcast. More resources available at ericbryant.org.